This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
How many of you guys are Christians? Anybody here love the Lord? Huh? Man, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And, you know, I gave my life to the Lord in 1979, so it's been 35 years. Probably 35 years and a month and a half or so. But soon after that, I went to Bible school. And I went to Bible school with a bunch of Christians that were preparing for ministry. And I was a Christian, but I wasn't preparing for ministry. I went because I did a favor for the pastor who led me to the Lord, asked me to apply, and I don't want to. I didn't want to go to Bible school. I said no. And he talked me into it. He said, just do it for me. And so I did, and they denied my application. They declined me. I was like, what? I don't even want to go. But now I don't know if you guys know me, but they said no. So it's like, okay, I'm going then. And so I went, and nobody stopped me, so I went. And what was cool is that I met some people that it felt like they were a little critical. Any guys ever run into any critical Christians, especially people preparing for ministry? Any guys ever run in, let me see your hands, if you've run into a critical, like just critic, they're just critical. And I'm looking at them and, you know, and I'd only been a Christian for a couple months, and that's why they turned me down. And it made sense, except for it makes sense in your head, but when I heard it from them saying no, it just ticked me off. So I said, well, by gosh, I'm going, and that's it. I'd like to see your little clip-on tie self stop me. Not that I have any issues with that. So if you're here and you wear a clip-on tie, thanks for coming tonight, and you can be a last-time guest, okay? But we can't be having any clip-on ties, do we? Or even Dickies. I mean, you guys are wearing a little Dickie. Like, you can't be I think when I met Scott, he had a Dickie on. But and you guys have to Google that. Don't Google that. No, don't Google that. It'll probably get you in trouble. But it's an article of clothing, you heathen. Bunch of people in here. Now you're making me critical, okay? Now you did it, okay? That's on you, okay? What was I talking about? You better help me or you're running laps in the ditch, okay? Oh, but she's a runner. Did you know that Janelle's a runner? How much did you run? You quit running? Just cooking now. Okay. So, no, for real, what was I talking about? School. I went to school. Oh, yeah, I went to Bible school. But I did meet a couple people, and I want to introduce you to one who was, I think I met him just playing a pickup basketball game. And finally, I found a person that was actually a Christian and were competitive, like blocking out and throwing elbows and blocking shots and playing hard. And so much so that we've been friends now for 35 years, but his wife's here. Mike and Jenny Wilson are here from Alabama. You guys want to stand and say hi? And you guys all know, listen, that you kind of applauded, but you thank God for people like this, because without people like this in my life initially as a Christian, and you guys can relate to this too, there's no chance I'd be where I am. The debt that I owe guys that just aren't critical of you, that aren't judging you, and aren't wondering why you haven't caught up, you know? And so much of that is about chapter and verse. And for me, I'm just carrying that Bible around, hoping somehow I'll start to be able to retain it and understand it. And you know what? After years of doing it, man, I'm confident in the Word now and just love God. But people like that, it's just phenomenal. And that's the DNA of this church. Man, if you run into critical people or judgmental people, they're either having a bad day and you give them a pass, or maybe they're not a part of this kind of tribe here. Because that's by and large, it's what we stand for is freedom. And you being authentically you and finding the passion that God's given you and the dream that God's put in front of you in your life. And this Sunday, I just want to kind of swerve into telling you, man, please be here, maybe for a service, maybe two on Sunday. If there's not enough room in the service, you can go get brunch or something. But be here because, man, I want to pastor a church of dreamers, crazy dreamers, Like dreams that meant, wait a minute, that's scary, that dream. And because the dream God gave me of life and ministry in the church is what we're living right now. But you know what? I had that dream. That dream was in 1979, and it was scary. It didn't make any sense. There was nothing like that on the planet, what God put in my heart. And I'm thanking God that there were people like Mike and Jenny that swerved into my life once in a while over the initial years and kept that dream alive. You know, and there's other things I'm going to talk about Sunday, that how God uses things to keep your dream alive. But we have to put him first for that to happen. And the Bible says that when we delight ourselves in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. So, man, that God-sized dream ought to scare you. And it ought to sound almost ludicrous when you talk about it. And I believe that God loves to back our play. You know, but all too often, it's within arm's reach. But you know, there also is an enemy of this. And I want you guys to know that God's hand's gonna be on your life, even in inviting and bringing people to church Sunday. Man, inviting people and bringing them to Friday groceries on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, and then church here at 9, 10, and 11, the Hispanic service at 1. And just to put it, man, if we become a church of true, a church of dreamers, man, people that'll say, you know what, really, I'm unstoppable. I'm indefatigable. I'm not ever going to quit, and I'm not going to wear out. I'm not going to burn out, and I'm also not going to check out. Man, I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to fight the good fight, and I'm going to win big. Anybody with me on that? So that's this Sunday, okay, and Friday and Sunday. So please invite people. Be active in that. But, you know, there's an enemy to this in our lives. And the Bible calls it an enemy of our soul. The Bible calls it just the enemy, and it's our adversary. And, you know, one of my favorite verses, and you guys have probably heard it, is 2 Corinthians 2:14, where Paul just says, look, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. I think I preached it last week, part of it, that he doesn't lead us to triumph. He leads us in triumph. Okay, and that's huge. There's a big difference between God leading us in triumph and God leading us to triumph. But if he's leading us in triumph, even when you're facing things, even when there's things that happen in your day that it's like, wait a second, this was not a part of the equation. This was not a part of the plan. But you know what? You can still march through that. And you know what? There's that bright side of it when you get through it and you don't quit. You know, there's an expression, I think it's a country song, but I think Dick Burnell, a pastor in California, coined it years and years ago because it was kind of like cussing, and he was one of those guys that likes to go to the edge, and he said, man, when you're going through hell, don't stop. And, you know, I believe that if we live our lives with such a tempo that I'm living the dream, man, we're going to live our life with such a tempo and such a cadence, we can get our life in the left lane. But, you know, right before 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, he's talking about forgiveness, and it's so strong. You ought to read that second chapter of 2 Corinthians. But if you're reading about that, and then you get to verse, I think it's verse 11. Let me look here real quick. Yeah, it is verse 11. And he's talking about forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness is hard. Is there anybody here? Don't raise your hands. Everybody look at me. Is there any unforgiveness? Don't raise your hand, but is there any unforgiveness in your life? A, your prayers will be hindered. We could say to the mountain, Jesus said this in Mark 11. He said, look, have the faith of God. You could say this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. But when you're praying, forgive. Man, this whole thing works on forgiveness. And you'll say, well, but I'm having a hard time. I have a hard time forgiving. No, you don't. You have a hard time trusting. And trust does not go with forgiveness. Okay, it's a whole separate deal. So if it's just forgiven, it's like, okay, yeah, I forgive you. And then you'll say, well, it doesn't change anything. It still happened. You're right. But you know what? You forgive them. And then when it comes back up in your heart, you forgive them. And the devil reminds you, and you forgive them. And because verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. Okay? The devil uses different things in our life. One primary thing is unforgiveness and bitterness. Because you know what? People sometimes they jack things up. People make a mess that we have to live in or live through. is probably a better way to put that. And we have to give people a pass. We have to let them get, and which brings me to I think 4 or 5 points tonight. But the first point, how the devil tempts us, how he hits us. See, there's the offensive side of life that's the promise of God. Man, I'm gonna live God's promise. Man, we lay hands on the sick and they recover. Man, for us, for the sick person, that's a defensive posture. For us, it's offensive. See, so there's offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball in the kingdom, okay? And the defensive side of the ball is that there's casual contact is number one. And that the devil used casual contact. And it's those small kind of, seemingly insignificant things, you know, that the enemy uses to get a foothold in our life. It starts very, very innocent. Very, it's not that big a deal. But remember this, and in your notes, just write, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, in John, the 10th chapter, and the 7th verse, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, most surely I say to you, he said, I'm the door of the sheep. Now, what did Jesus say he was? The door. He said, I'm the door. All who've ever come before me are thieves and robbers. Any other kind of door that's come before him are thieves and robbers. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. He said, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. And he'll go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, for the thief comes, that the door that the thief uses is to kill, steal, and destroy. Let's take him to court. Kill, steal, and destroy. Man, oh, here, let me defend myself. Kill, steal, and destroy. But then he said, but I've come to give life and life more abundant. We always have to take the door that is God's promise, the door that is provided in God's word, and it's through Jesus. We all, but the casual little, and let me just tell you, it's not that big a deal. Listen, at some point, it's not that big a deal until it is. You know, it's most things that the vices that are in the world, they start out there's a threshold point that gets you in, and it's like, wait a second, this isn't Jesus, this isn't God's promise, this isn't his word. Number one is just simply casual contact that the enemy's gonna use. It's not that big a deal. He's not that bad a guy. No, he's a good guy. No, sometimes his vocabulary is pretty filthy. Man, sometimes he says off-color jokes. Yeah, he says things about other races that he probably shouldn't, but by and large, it's not that big a deal. No, it's a huge deal. The enemy's gonna use that. I'm just telling you, it's just casual contact. Number two, it's conflict, and it's kind of a caustic. See, conflict becomes caustic. Caustic is something that'll burn you and erode you and rust things out where your hinges don't work very good because they're rusty and they're rusted, and that the casual contact becomes kind of a caustic conflict. That it's misunderstandings, and what conflict leads to is division. Man, we have to be led by our spirit. Man, there's so much. It's interesting that what I rely on Sandy for just to live my life so heavily, because there's 9 spiritual gifts that as the Spirit wills, or as God wills in our life, okay? It's words of wisdom and words of knowledge and gifts of faith and gifts of healing and workings of miracles and tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And one of them is the discerning of spirits. And it's so interesting that I recognize, and here's what's, it's gonna be funny. I recognize that I operate in that spiritual gifting, and I'll tell you why. Because I see Sandy operating that spiritual gifting so heavily. Man, when Sandy will say, you know, man, Bill, I don't have a peace about you meeting with him. Or it doesn't seem right for you to go there and preach or to do this. And and for me, I'd be, you know what I want to say? I want to say, no, it's not that big a deal. See, so that casual contact then becomes a caustic conflict in our lives. Or it's like, no, I don't need you. No, hey, listen, I got this. Because let me tell you, I've got it until I don't. And I'm telling you, It's like those little things that you kind of just compromise in your life. It's, you know, I know I probably shouldn't, but it's not that big a deal. You don't have a problem with it until you do have a problem with it. If you write this down, if you put yourself in a position to sin often enough, you will. I'm just telling you. Man, we have to be very, very careful. We have windows and doors open in all of our offices all the time. You know why? It's men and women working together. Man, everything's got to be visible. Everything's got to be visible. Why? Because we don't trust. I absolutely trust our staff. You know what? I just want to keep them safe. That's all I want to do. I just want to keep them safe. Man, if we just keep them safe, keep them on track, not give the devil any kind of place, and not be ignorant of his devices. You know, there's people that'll say, well, they didn't really have an affair. It's more of an emotional thing. No, let me just tell you something. That's going to bring conflict in that home. And what that conflict's going to produce, it's going to produce a division. And man, the last thing you want, the Bible says, don't go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And that word wrath is another word for conflict. Don't let the sun, if you're conflicted on it. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you a pet peeve that I have. A pet peeve I have is people that roll their eyes. Are you guys like that? How many of you guys like to talk to somebody and they roll their eyes to you? I'm like, oh, no, you're fired. How about that, huh? Oh, you don't work for me? Okay. Well, I'll fire myself. I'm out, okay? But I have some pet peeves. Here's another pet peeve. Well, let's just agree to disagree. Now, let me tell you, the sheer translation of let's just agree to disagree, you're an idiot and you're wrong. You don't want to say that to me. And why? It's more than a pet peeve. It's something, it brings conflict to me. And that cost of conflict is something that what we have to do is avoid it. Man, avoid divisions. Man, Paul said, don't let any division be named among you. And you know, we're not just here to agree to disagree. It's more that I don't have to always be right. You know, that's Sandy's big deal. I say, Sandy always thinks she's right. Well, I am usually. Okay, yeah, I got it. But number three is our emotions. But listen, emotions are not bad. Crippling emotions are really bad. And there's people, I remember in the 80s, early 90s, I'd hear men's ministry people get up and say, yeah, men are not emotional, women are emotional. I'm like, you didn't play for some of the coaches I played for. They were pretty manly. They were masculine fellas. And let me just tell you, ripping lockers off the wall and throwing them at you, they were pretty emotional too. Am I right, Joe? I mean, there's fellas can be emotional. So it's like, but listen, crippling emotions, man, that's what the enemy's going to use. The enemy's going to use casual contact. It's not that big a deal. No, wait a second. It's a little foxes spoil the vine. Man, caustic conflicts, man, where it creates division. You know, where it's like, well, I'm not happy with you. It's like, hey, I get it. Please forgive me. But you go to bed with that and you think, well, it's just gonna all be better. But you know what? Those things begin to pile up. And the enemy uses that. See, this is the defensive posture where we don't have to be ignorant of the enemy's offensive moves in our lives. But crippling emotions are like fear and insecurity. Man, those things, jealousy. Man, we've got to, there are things, listen, that all of us battle. To one degree or another, for somebody to say, well, I don't have any fear in my life. God, give me a break. No, I'm not. No, I'm never jealous. Oh, really? Can I help you? I'm never jealous either until I am. I'm not jealous right now, but I'm not jealous until I am. Well, you know what? I'm a very secure person. I have no insecurity. No, it's laughable when you hear that from people. It's fraudulent. You're a fake. But see, what we have to do is we have to understand these are the kind of things, and the list could probably go on. There's intelligent people in here that we could build that list and probably have 50 things on that list. But how does the enemy try to cripple you with your emotions? Does he use fear? Are you worried? Are you a worrisome person? Well, understand, the devil's gonna use that. You're opening the door. By worrying, the Bible says don't worry ever. But don't worry and ever speak. Don't ever put those, don't worry saying. Man, and see, we look at this, that they become crippling to us, and the enemy knows when we're in fear. Man, if a dog can know, if a horse can know, man, you gotta know the devil can know. See, what's interesting is this. Here's how I want to put it. The devil can't understand when you pray in tongues, you're praying in the spirit, your prayer language. He can't understand that. It confuses him. Number one. Number two, he can't read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. All he knows, listen, is if you've allowed a thought to come in and you haven't rejected it. See, that thought, he's given you that thought that you better be worried about your job. You better be worried about your husband. You better be worried about your kid. Man, you're living your life and you're trying to control everything and you're so worried. He sees that worry, that worrisome thought that he's thrown at you, and he knows it's gone into your mind. He knows you're dealing with it. That's a fiery dart that he sends you. He knows that it wasn't repelled by the shield of faith in your life. He knows if it's in there and whether you've rejected it or not. And you know what that is? A curse. And when he finds that those unrejected curses, those thoughts, those fiery darts come into your, they hit your soul, then I'm telling you, it becomes like a Gatling gun for him. And you become double-minded. And the Bible says the double-minded is unstable in all his ways and should expect to receive nothing of the Lord. Man, crippling emotions, your insecurity. Man, what you've got to do is you've got to realize the things that make you insecure. And number one, don't put yourself in that insecure position. And number two, fill your heart up with God's word and begin to speak that word that counters the thought of that insecurity. See, thoughts don't counter thoughts. Words counter thoughts. This isn't just positive thinking. We have to speak this word, preach the word in season and out of season, when it seems appropriate and when it doesn't seem appropriate. That's all that's gonna come out of my mouth is God's word. I'm gonna proclaim God's promise. Man, and that's what faith is. So crippling emotions, the enemy's gonna use those in your life. Number four, man, a confused identity. If there was a way, and I know there is a way, church is the answer, but 25 or 30 minutes at a time isn't gonna do it. See, in order for you to have the mind of Christ, in order for you to be able to think on what the word promotes our thoughts to have, we have to spend hundreds and thousands of hours in his word. It's not like a sprinkling of God's word. It's an outpouring of God's word that baptizes us in it. Because you think about the conversations, you think about the music, you think about the thoughts, you think about all the stuff that you have going on in your life. And then your devotion time, that if you're Lonnie, if your life was a pie chart and you had a pie chart of your life, how much of it is work and how much you sleep a part of it and then you eat a part of it. You're not thinking about your guy, so sometimes you're not thinking about anything. Okay? Man, the chick comes up and goes, Ed, what are you thinking about? It's like, I'm really thinking about you, honey. So I was thinking about you and I was thinking about how beautiful roses are. You remind me of roses. Your skin's like rose petals. And that's what I was thinking about, and you all know it's just bull. You're not thinking about anything because you're a guy, okay? But the point is, the point is that pie chart of your life, man, I don't think that you have to be in the word 90% or 80%, but I'm telling you, it's gotta outweigh the other stuff that put a demand on your thought life. See, that's the big key. What's putting a demand and trying to force you to think a certain way, man, you've got to counter that with more of the word. Man, it's just more time that you spend time with him. And here's what the word says about that. I have to decrease so that he can increase. And let me tell you, it's not going to work out if you don't. The likelihood of you marrying the right person, and that's a big deal, isn't it, Tom? Man, the likelihood of you marrying the right person, I think it's all determined on how much time you spend in the word. I wish you guys were open and receptive. Man, for us just to think we can be good pickers and who we're going to marry, we can never see into somebody's heart. We can only see what they want us to see. Man, you're dating some guy, girls. Man, when you're dating, he's getting your door. He's only giving you the good parts. He's wearing deodorant. He's brushing his teeth. He's popping in breath mints. Man, let me tell you what. His budget for breath mints decreases to almost nothing once he gets married. But before he's married, man, he's never got bad breath. You're like, this guy is perfect. He never even has bad breath. Nick, 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 nick. Don't believe it, not for a second. But you know what? We've got to be in the Word. The Word's alive, right? It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to separate your bone and your marrow, your soul and your spirit, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Man, you'll be with somebody, and because you've been in the Word and the Word's working and alive in your heart, listen up. Man, the Word's working in your heart. The Word's alive in your heart. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to, man, alarms are going to go off. You're going to, whoop, whoop, something's not right here. Oh, wait a second. I'm not seeing the full picture here. There's something that's being hidden. God, I thank you. The hidden things will be revealed. God, your Word promises that they will. That starts coming out of your mouth. Man, and let me just tell you, what that is faith, and that's what moves things. See, our need doesn't move God. That's what the world doesn't get. We can't take a worldly mindset and think, well, God sees my need, he ought to do something. God's not moved by your need. He's not. Well, I already prayed. God's not moved by your prayers. God's moved by your effectual, fervent prayers. God's moved by your faith, not anything else. Your trust in him. Man, I'm not gonna trust anything but God's word. I'm not gonna trust anything but God's promise. And then those crippling emotions aren't gonna take you down. The fourth thing is a confused identity. The fifth thing is just constant temptation. And you know, there are temporary pleasures that, whether it's food or whatever, visual things. I'm just telling you, those temporary things, man, if it's constant, and I kind of used my punchline earlier than I should for this point, but I'm going to reuse it. If you put yourself in a position to sin often enough, you will. And constant temptation, let me explain to you about this. And this is from a scientific point of view, okay? The average temptation that a human being faces is between 3 and 8 seconds. So think about the last time you fell prey to temptation. The bottom line is you just couldn't resist it for 10 seconds. Man, how many of you guys have ever heard of, and this is old school, man. This is something your grandmama probably told you. Man, you get mad, you count to 10 before you say anything. Anybody ever heard that? I'll tell you what, I think that's a perfect, perfect principle to live by. Because you know what? That temptation to lash out, that temptation to say something vulgar or say something really bad that's really gonna be hurtful, man, you're gonna be able to resist it. Because you know what? Man, you gotta count to 10, you're gonna exceed that 3 to 8 second temptation period. And see, and I want that to hit you, man, because temptation like this, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. He's the enemy to your soul. He's gonna try to tempt you. And let me just tell you, to your flesh, that temptation feels like sin. Man, you look at something and you're tempted by it, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel so dirty. I need to go take a shower. Yeah, you go get in the Word. The washing of the water of the Word is what the Bible refers to it as. But see, we look at our lives and we gotta understand these five things, there's probably a few more. It's not exhaustive, it's Wednesday night and I've got 25 minutes. But the bottom line is that these five things, man, if you really looked at it and you examined your life and you examined your heart, the casual things of your life, if you just button those things up, it's a game changer for you. Man, the cost of conflicts where you're like, you know what? We disagree, so you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna side with you this time. And you know what? I'm telling you, your husband or wife may say, I hate it when you do that. Don't do that to me. Don't patronize me. You know what? Don't get into the conflict. I'm just telling you. Man, there's so many times. What's interesting is that we've got to take control of our own lives before we can lead anything else. And see, especially you fellas, man, we're not here to fix everything. Man, that's what I want to do. I just want to fix it. It's a bad day. I get a confession. You know how I was bragging about that Door knob. Oh, yeah. Did she send you a picture? Gosh darn it. Okay, I forbid you to Instagram or anything that. I got a confession to make. I was bragging. I got in pride. Pride comes before the fall. I got up yesterday morning. Was it yesterday? I got up yesterday morning and I went out to feed the dogs. I opened up the garage door and I looked right there on the step leading to my garage from the back door. There was a dadgum door lever on the floor. That perfect lever action on that thing. Smooth as silk. I'm not kidding you. But you know what? I don't remember when I was bragging about that, but I was in pride. That lever's on the floor, probably even right now. I'm too ashamed to even pick it up. Any handymen in here, I need to pay you to come in. Probably a couple hours of work. It's hard work putting those levers on. There is. Those are moving parts, but I got into pride, and that lever fell on the floor. But listen, we've got to make sure that we're not giving the devil any gaping holes in our lives. You know that? I think that he overplays his hand all the time. And if you understand that the devil's going to overplay his hand, you know what? How many guys, let me ask you this. How many of you guys are born-again believers in Jesus? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys, now here's a tough question. How many of you guys are filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in an unknown tongue? Can I see your hands? Listen, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, more than anything, but an attribute of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives is it forearms us and forewarns us. See, listen, when I'm in tune to the Spirit of God on the inside of me, man, what's going to happen is, man, God's going to show me things I didn't know. He's going to remind me of everything that Jesus said and show me things that I'm not aware of. See, I'm just telling you, through the course of this church, there's storms that have hit our church. There's storms that have hit my life, storms that have hit my family. Let me just tell you, most of them, and I want to say all of them, but most of them, man, I had a warning of that storm. And see, and that's a big deal. Man, if that hurricane's coming and there's a warning and there's multiple warnings and we say, I'm not going to higher ground. I'm not getting out of the way of this storm. I've lived through other storms, not that big a deal. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's telling you to get out of there. Do more than just batten your hatches and board up your windows, man. You got to take your family to higher ground and let this storm pass. Man, when the storm devastates your home and your life, man, I'm telling you, only have you to look at. But see, God's going to do that. He's going to forearm you and forewarn you. And you'll say, yeah, but what about the destruction? No, the Bible says that the thief has to repay what he's stolen seven times back. It's going to end up better for you. And see, and that's how we have to do. There's so much that happens in our lives that it's like, you know what? I knew I shouldn't have done that. I had to check in my spirit about that. Man, God warned me. Man, and you know what? I'm just telling you, some of that to you guys, that might be like I'm speaking Mandarin to you or something. But you know what? Once you do it once, it's like, oh my gosh. And then you do it a second time, and then it's like, oh my gosh, there's a flow in my life. When there's a flow of you being led by the Spirit of God, these five things aren't tripping you up all the time. Man, the enemy's still gonna try to get to you. The Bible says he stalks you. He's creeping on you. He's like a roaring lion. And what does the Bible say? Seeking whom he may devour. There's no guarantee that he could devour you unless, listen, you take a door that he's providing you. But that's where Jesus said, I'm the door for the sheep. Now, you don't take that door, you're probably a goat. Man, the difference between a sheep and a goat, a sheep's going to eat where it's supposed to eat. It's going to follow the shepherd. It's going to hear the bell of the bell sheep, and it's going to follow after that bell. Man, if it gets off track a little bit, it's going to adhere to that dog that runs it back into the flock, and it's going to stay in the flock, and it's going to stay protected. It's going to eat what the shepherd provides. It's going to drink where the shepherd provides it. It's going to take that shelter. A goat's not going to. A goat is going to eat whatever. A goat is going to eat a pop bottle. A goat is going to eat a tin can. A goat is going to eat barbed wire. I'm not kidding you. I grew up in a rural community. Rural community, these guys had goats because then they didn't have to mow the ditch and they'd put goats out there. And the guy said, oh my gosh, I gotta put my barbed wire fence back up. I said, man, how did your barbed wire fence go down? He goes, oh, the goat ate it. Like the goat ate a barbed wire fence? Yeah, it'll eat whatever it's in front of them. And you know what? We don't want to be goats. Man, there's sheep, there's goats, and then there's wolves. And wolves come in sheep's clothing. But wolves, listen, will overplay their hand. They'll be compliant like sheep. They look like sheep. Other sheep think they're sheep, except for guess what? There's that canine scent. They smell differently. They mark their territory. Man, in this church, I'll find people that mark their territory. It's like, oh, it's odd. It's interesting. Man, elders talk about it all the time. Man, we're not here to mark our own territory. We're not here to try to put our name on anything, but wolves will try to do that. Man, goats will just eat whatever. Man, anything that comes up, any conspiracy theory or anything that comes up, man, a goat's gonna eat it. What's a sheep gonna do? A sheep's gonna take notes during church. A sheep's gonna feed on the word that the shepherd gives. And then you know what? Man, then there's a demand put on the gifting of that pastor, that shepherd, or that speaker. And any guys that have spoken, man, you know this, that there's a demand put on that. And then you know what? Man, God uses that, and that flywheel starts turning. Man, that giving and receiving part, the flow, the life-for-life exchange that happens in here, where the life of God and his word is exchanged for the life of the flesh that we live. And I want the life of God, don't you? So it's those five simple things. I think they'll be on the website when you get in your truck, if you want to download them to your phones or your iPads or whatever, and you can get the podcast later. But just understand this. The enemy's trying to mess with you. And he doesn't want, listen, just a little bit of your stuff. He comes, listen, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants you to get your eye off the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the dream that God's put in your life. There's a dream in every single one of us, and it's a God-sized dream. And it's scary as all get out. And the enemy just wants to reroute us and detour us and keep us from living that dream. And I'm here to tell you, I've tasted of the good things of God. I'm never going back. But you know what? Man, the casualness of life or the conflicts, man, the other things that we have to deal with, the emotions, man, the things that, man, the enemy tries to, the constant temptations. It's like, you know what? I'm not letting my guard down. The Bible says this, Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts, those demonic thoughts, those temptations of the evil one.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.